Wow! Did you hear that? That's not a storm. That's your internet firing up with Leaptel's NBN plans. Lightning fast, rock solid, and when you need help, you won't be stuck on hold with someone overseas.
Nope, you'll get real people right here in Australia. And get 500 megabit speeds for just $79.95 for your first 12 months. T's and C's apply.
Visit leaptel.com.au and leap to better internet today.
You're listening to SBS News.
So we know the World Health Organization has declared this, you know, public emergency of international concern, but saying that it's not as serious, it's not a pandemic like COVID. For people that don't know what all of that means, do they need to be concerned about this outbreak?
Of course, we all need to be concerned whenever there's a WHO declaration of an outbreak of international concern. However, you know, MSF has quite a lot of experience working in the Democratic Republic of Congo with Ebola outbreaks. And at the moment, this is very much a localized outbreak in an area where Ebola is endemic. We're working very quickly and very closely with the public health authorities to identify unmet medical needs and where we can scale up to be able to contain this outbreak so that it doesn't spread further and really present an international concern.
What are the challenges with containment on the ground?
So this particular area is quite remote, and communities living in this area have unreliable access to primary healthcare clinics and secondary healthcare hospitals. So whilst this was announced fairly quickly, I think last 3 days we received the notifications of the outbreak, it's likely that there have been cases in the community for some weeks and that the spread of the virus is yet to be fully clearly outlined. So there's a time delay in awareness around the number of cases, getting those cases that are suspected laboratory checked and validated that it is indeed the Bujumbujo strain of the Ebola virus. And then it's a matter of really scaling up rapidly to be able to support the community and the public health system in the area to be able to contain the virus. And that really means rapid case identification. It means isolation of people in hospitals and then providing supportive care to be able to keep them alive long enough so that their own body can fight the virus.
I guess just on the containment, we know that there's been a case in Goma and obviously two deaths or suspected to be caused by Ebola in Uganda. So is there concern that it is spreading uncontained at the moment?
I think there's concern that we don't know the full scale of the outbreak, although, again, we've responded to similar outbreaks in the Democratic Republic of Congo numerous times over the last years. Indeed, this is something like the 17th outbreak of Ebola in DRC. MSF has had experience with this particular strain of Ebola in 2007 in Uganda and then more recently 2012 in DRC. And whilst it is a more rare strain of Ebola, it is less fatal in terms of the caseload fatality rate. And so given all the conditions being put in place where we're able to get supplies into the area quickly enough, strengthen and support the public health response, we feel somewhat comfortable that we will be able to effectively treat and hopefully contain the spread of the virus.
Just reading up, obviously, on previous outbreaks, obviously 2014 was the worst or one of the worst. I guess, how does it differ? How does this outbreak and the characteristics differ from that particular outbreak?
So there's a couple of key differences between this outbreak in Ituri in Democratic Republic of Congo and the very large-scale outbreak which happened in West Africa in 2014. So first is the location. Again, this is a very remote rural setting where the number of people living in proximity to health clinics is relatively small. What we saw in 2014 in West Africa was the large-scale spread of the Ebola virus, and that was the Zaire strain of the virus, which is much more deadly and more common and easier to spread in some regards because it got into urban centres. It was able to spread to very large groups of populations. So both the geographical isolation in this case and the particular strain of Ebola are somewhat in our favour in being able to contain this outbreak in a timely manner.
And for MSF and the World Health Organization and other local groups, do you think that because there's been practice, so to speak, handling outbreaks in this in these areas, that the response is kind of well oiled, would you say?
There's two aspects around the response that worry me at this stage. Firstly, is the particular strain has no antivirals or vaccine available. Now, we already have quite an effective vaccine available for the Zaire strain of Ebola, but this Bujumbujo strain of Ebola has no vaccine. So that is a worrying complication in this current outbreak. The second is really that the international or the global health community, which was well supported to respond to previous Ebola outbreaks, has been experiencing a period of cutbacks in budgets and support. We've seen the US, UK, other governments really cutting back on support for global health priorities, including research, but also response capacity. So that's something of a worry for MSF that we don't see the amount of resources that these developing countries in Africa require to be able to mount their own effective domestic response. So that's partly why MSF is rapidly looking at scaling up our own support in recognition of a chronic weakness of public health systems in the face of mounting budget cuts.
If you could just paint a picture of what an MSF response looks like, how people are deployed and what they do on the ground.
So MSF will typically provide support in the DRC to public health communities, to public health clinics, mobile health clinics, hospitals in the affected area. What that will look like is the mobilization of a number of experienced MSF medical, logistical, and support staff into the area that's affected. We'll look at how we can scale up support around existing health facilities. So that might be helping them to identify an isolation ward to provide them with training on the proper use of PPE or personal protective equipment. It might be assisting with some of the public education and awareness raising in the community about how to prevent the spread of Ebola virus. And it might also be around supporting local responders with what we call contact tracing, which is trying to identify all of the people that a patient may have come in contact with so that we can monitor them for any symptoms of the virus, or we can isolate them to prevent the further spread of the virus. It's really a race against time to be able to shut down that network of the virus spreading within the community. The quicker we can do that in hospitals and in the communities, the quicker we'll be able to contain this outbreak and prevent it from becoming an outbreak of international concern.
I understand at the moment the World Health Organization hasn't recommended closing borders or doing lockdowns or anything like that. But at the same time, saying it's a thing of international concern, I guess maybe there's confusion amongst the general population as to why it's so concerning, and yet some of the measures we saw during COVID aren't being implemented.
Indeed, I mean, whenever anybody mentions Ebola, it definitely elicits a very panicked, stressful response from people all around the world. And this is very much a result of the massive outbreak that we saw in West Africa in 2014. Thankfully, we've become better in managing Ebola outbreaks since then. We have those vaccines available, which have proven to be effective with certain strains. And we're continuing to work on polyvariant vaccines that will hopefully in the future mean that outbreaks of Ebola will be less. So for now, don't panic. It's very much a localized outbreak, which is again happening in an area where the disease, the virus, is endemic. And so with good cooperation with local authorities, the fast transmission of experts and suppliers into the area, we have some degree of confidence that we'll be able to contain this outbreak before it becomes truly of international concern.
Noor Haider here, one of the hosts of The Guardian's daily news podcast, Full Story. Every weekday, we go beyond the headlines, taking you closer to The Guardian's journalism. Listen to Full Story wherever you get your podcasts.